This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevalier, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores. Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to this Monday morning edition of the Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Let me welcome in my in-studio co-host, McKendry Bearcat hockey coaches, Gary Henson and Tommy Brown, better known as Butter. What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Dom?
Hey, Jimmy.
I'm full.
Yeah, full of shit.
Yeah, I am, but I am full. I'm never eating again. How about you guys? How was it? Well,
it was good.
Well, I was a little under the weather all week, so I couldn't really eat much.
Just bad yourself, Butter.
Yeah, I still made it out to the golf course, though.
So. I was going to say, wait a minute, hang on. I saw you at a wedding, and I saw you at the golf course, so you couldn't have been that sick.
I had to suck it up.
So bad yourself.
Had to suck it up.
Bad yourself. Well, full of food and never eating again, but post Thanksgiving weekend found ourselves a couple of home games, tale of two nights, 0-4 on the power play one night and 3-4 on the other will make a difference for sure. But we're going to talk about both those games a little bit. As like I said, I think that both games a little bit different, offered a little bit different view of our St. Louis Blues. But in the end, I didn't think we played bad in the loss. And I think at times I'm not quite sure how well we played in the win. So it'd be real interesting to see Jamie's take on this and talk a little bit about it. We want to thank our co-sponsors, company of Innovated Construction, Innovated Companies. They do everything you need, all one-stop shopping for all of your construction needs. Remember that they take care of new construction, project planning, and consulting. They do residential and commercial. Industrial and land developments, design build projects. They're really into helping people with that so that they understand what they're getting into. For all one-stop shopping when it comes to all your company of construction needs, make sure you check out Innovated Companies, innovatedcompanies.com. Randy and Stephanie Green, great people. Happy to have them on board. Going to change things up a little bit here today, G-Ride.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We're gonna go with, you know, you got Beauty and the Beast, so yeah. We're going to go Beauty first today instead of Beast first because Angela's got some stuff to do, so we're going to get her take, and I will be curious because it's always interesting and fun times during the holidays. You get more of a college crowd, a little bit more of a – is raucous the word, would you say?
Yeah.
Would you go
I
with
think
raucous?
It's raucous.
A little more raucous.
When you know, you get people are off work, so they don't have to worry about, like, you know, getting up in the morning and they're celebrating or they've been off work all day. So.
I mean, we watched the game at a friend of ours' house, had a couple libations, and watched the Predators Blues. Your initial thoughts on that game?
I thought it was a good game. You know, Carter Hutton played great, only giving up the one goal. Felt like the Blues played well, except they just didn't get a lot of pucks on net from inside. And there wasn't much many scoring chances from, you know, in the house, like we like to say, or in the slot or down low. There wasn't a lot of, you know, garbage, greasy goals. We were shooting from outside 15, 20 feet sometimes. So,
Butter, you kind of noticed the same thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't see a lot of traffic in the slot area. So, you know, getting pucks to the net, getting the rebounds,
the dirty goals.
Yeah,
I mean, they had some opportunities, and Rene played well, I thought, on the what you would call the golden scoring chances that they had, and watching the replays, and, you know, a couple of misses there that could have, you know, obviously changed the outcome of the game. But, you know, you're not going to win them all, although I will say that, you know, Nashville is a team that you kind of have to measure yourself up against. You got to find a way to beat them. I mean, let's face it, they were in the Stanley Cup Finals last year. Sniper-esque goal that they scored in that game. That was pretty nasty. I mean, I don't
know. Yeah, that was dirty.
That was dirty. But, you know, you got to measure yourself against teams like that. You got to find a way to win those games, I would think, especially at home. Our Twitter question today is going to address, we've dealt with bad ice, it seems like, here in town at different times for one reason or another. And I know they, you know, they did the renovations and they were supposed to address that, but man, that got awful.
Yeah.
Have you seen? Bad. I mean, it was awful. I know that people are asking if maybe Jamie can give some insight into that. And again, it's something I think that's kind of been there all along, but I thought that was something we were supposed to address. So oddly enough,
it's like it's too warm.
Yeah, well
so
they had guns and hoses. But see, that's the thing. I mean, that's always been, you know, you had this and you had that, and everything's old, and they need to have better compression. You know, it's like, well, you know, here we go. Same shit, different day.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Again, I'd be curious to get Jamie's take on it, because like I said, he's played on the supposed awful ice that we've had over there, and to see if it's – and you know what? This could be another one of those things that – it may be this way everywhere, and we just notice it because it's our eyes.
It's not, huh?
You got the lowdown.
I've skated on it, and I'm going to tell you, just like toward the, as it gets chopped up and as traffic, more and more traffic, the ice almost, it should be like snowy kind of on top, and it's not. It's gritty. It's grainy. And so even when it's chewed up, you're not getting true bounces with the puck. It's hard to keep the puck flat a lot of times, so. That's just what it feels like to me, but I'm no ice expert, so.
Sure sounded like you were an ice expert. Well, Butter, did that not sound like he was an ice expert?
It sounded pretty good.
Sounded pretty good.
Thanks, I'll be an ice expert.
I was going to say, are they looking for a director of operations over there? For?
It is a little.
Are you kidding me?
I'm seasonally
big bucks.
Big bucks, yeah, operation. Well, before we go to, like I said, we're going to go beauty before beast today. Before we do that, I want to remind everybody to make sure you check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. It's the website where you can obviously listen to the show, but more importantly, you can subscribe to the show. It's completely free. It'll be downloaded on your mobile device and ready for your listening pleasure at your convenience whenever you'd like. It's very simple to do. Again, just go to bluesnhlpodcast.com, click on subscribe to the podcast. It'll walk you through. It takes about 30 seconds. The other thing you can do at any time, really, with our website, but right now it really plays into the season, is you can do your shopping at Amazon through our website. You just simply click the Amazon banner down on the right. Get to do your shopping through there. It doesn't cost you anything extra. We get a small referral for you doing so. Helps us with the production cost of the show. We would greatly appreciate that. Social media is our other ask of you. You can find us at STL Blues Podcast and at NHL Show are our two Twitter accounts. Simply type in Blues NHL Podcast on Facebook and you'll find us. Blues NHL Podcast Show on Instagram. Our ask is that you follow our social media accounts and kind of jump in on the conversation. The main thing that we'd really appreciate is Facebook. If you guys could like our Facebook page, Blues NHL Podcast, and then simply click invite your friends and just kind of go through your list and click on all your friends that you know that are Blues fans, we would greatly appreciate it as we try to increase our listening audience. You guys have been one of the biggest drivers in doing that, and we do appreciate it greatly. Our social media partners, the affiliates that we've made through this run as the show has grown in popularity, we'd like to thank all of them for their role in this, and we couldn't do it without them. Art City Sports, Mick Light, friend of Jamie's, and we've gotten to know him, does a great job sharing our content. St. Louis Blues Hockey Memes, you guys are all familiar with that one as well. St. Louis Blues Fans Unite's another good one. Newly on board is Everything STL Sports. All great Facebook pages that we highly encourage that you guys go like the pages, follow it. If you're interested in Blues conversation, which you probably are, unlike baseball, you know, you get a game sometimes 2-3 days. In between, there's a lot of conversation. If you love being involved in all that, like our good friend Todd Hennister loves to jump in on those things. If as Gary's over there kind of staring into his fists, Butcher loves to jump in on those. If you like to do that stuff as well, make sure you check out those Facebook accounts. They do a great job, and it is a it's a lot of fun to get involved in those conversations. Thanks to all of those affiliates of ours on Blues NHL Podcast. Like I said, we're going to change things up a little bit here. We're going to go to Angela Sharp first, and then we'll go to Jamie on the bench with Butter today and see what Jamie's got on his mind. Let's see if Angela's on the line. Beauty over Beast. Are you there?
Hey, I'm here. What's going on?
Well, we threw you up in the rotation today. We've had enough of Jamie, and we feel you need first billing. How's that sound to you?
I don't think that's even kind of true, but I'll take it.
And you'll be sure to remind him of it when you see him around the Scott trade, I'm sure.
Oh, you know I will.
I know you will.
That's just still my personality.
Well, you're a busy girl. Over the week, well, you're always busy, but, for a lot of fans, we're down at Scott Trade for Guns and Hoses, a tremendous event that raises money for our fallen first responders and does a lot of great stuff within the community. That's an event that has just grown and grown and grown over the years. Started with the help of the wonderful gentleman that owned the Gray Eagle Beer Distributorship and has just kept going and going, especially with all the help from Budweiser and just everybody involved. How long have you been doing that event, or was this your first year?
No, I've been involved with that for about 7 years. The first five, I was a ring girl, and the last two, I've been emceeing. So, I love that event. Like you said, it raises a lot of money for a wonderful cause, and it really is a fun night. I went to Webster Groves High School, and as a lot of people know, that's the biggest rivalry west of this Mississippi. It's like Turkey Day. And on that Wednesday night, we always had a bonfire. Well, now that I'm an adult, you really can't go back to your high school bonfire. So for me, the kickoff to, Thanksgiving and the holiday season really is Guns and Hoses now. So it kind of, just really fits in with my life. And it's really fun to see how much those guys and women train to be able to box or MMA fight each other in the ring for such a good cause. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been an amazing thing to watch grow, and the Clinton family, I know it was something, it's always been something that he has supported, and they do, even though he doesn't own the beer distributorship anymore, he stayed really active in the role, and just a great guy that had a vision and shared with other people to make the thing grow. So it's a tremendous thing that everybody's involved in there, and it does a lot of great stuff. And then you follow that up with back-to-back nights of Blues hockey. First night didn't go so well. We take the loss against Nashville, and I'm sure your friends from Nashville gave you a little static over that one.
They did. They gave me a lot of trouble over that one. But, let's be honest. When we won that game, Nashville was on their dad's trip. And I don't know what the stat is. Somebody should make a stat on this, because it just seems to me that every team plays a little bit better when their dads are on that trip with them, that dad's weekend trip. So we knew they were going to be just a little bit better. And then, Pekka's save percentage before we started that game was huge. And he was going to that game trying to break a record, which he did against us. So
that sucks.
they had a little extra. Yeah, he's now the most shutouts of a Finnish goalie in the NHL. So you've got that going for you. So I'm gonna cut that off. We held them to one, which is great. Two, but whatever. So I think that's good. And then you go into the other one didn't count. So then you go into the next game, and we got back on track. We got a little bit back on track.
I would say so. Finally, the power play comes through a little bit. Fans have been griping a little bit, and we see a power play near 50% in a game that saw us have 8 power plays. That was part of our Twitter poll, and there's a lot of people concerned about the power play. You hearing some of those echoes throughout the corridors?
Well, like you said, when we're winning, it's great. When we start to look a little wobbly, that's when you hear more complaints. So during that Nashville game, I heard a lot of that rumbling. And then actually the game on Saturday, I actually wasn't doing a whole lot in game.
Right.
So I was able to sit in different sections with fans, and I got to hear a lot more talking during that game. So, that's what's going on. But let's keep in mind where we stand. Okay? I'm always trying to be very positive, and let's keep in mind where we stand and how everything is going. And I mean, it's not looking too bad for this team. Yes, there's some things they need to clean up, but cleaning up is a lot easier to do than, you know, coming back from, you know, not winning any games or something like that.
Absolutely.
So let's be positive. Let's be optimistic.
Absolutely. You know, another of the things that, you know, you've been doing this for quite some time, and a common complaint, and it's just something I think we got used to for a while, was, you know, the ice seems to get a little rough. We see a lot of bouncing pucks. I've often wondered if it's just here, if it's a league problem. You know, one of the things that we're supposed to solve those issues a little bit was the renovations at Scott Trade. And, boy, this weekend the ice was really rough. Any rumblings or grumblings about that from fans?
I heard a lot of that from fans. A lot of FNB fans wanted to know my opinion and how I could fix it. I got to tell you, that's well out of my pay grade, guys. I can't help you with the ice. But, I mean, it was unseasonably warm this weekend. I don't know if that played into it or not. And I do know that the renovations were supposed to help that. There was a lot of talk of, I mean, fans always, you know, have a great opinion, and they're wondering if the pucks were frozen enough. And I can assure you that the pucks are in that little freezer thing. So I think they're frozen enough.
Well,
I don't know
just
what's going on with the ice, and that's above my grade, guys.
Well, that just goes to show you they pay attention, as I think Panger tweeted that out. I mean, he's like, are we freezing these pucks? What the heck is going on? So they're paying attention to the Panger, that's for sure. But, again, it's just, you know, it's something I think that it just went on and on and on for years, and I know they talked about that at length with these renovations. So I don't know if, you know, hopefully to your point, maybe it was just unseasonably warm. But, again, I thought it was something they were supposed to deal with. Maybe the Beast, Jamie, will have some thoughts on it, although he'll probably just
He probably has a much better insight. You see, his access allows him to go to other places that I don't get to go.
Well, let's not talk about Jamie's access, okay? Let's not do that. I don't want to do that with him. But, well, we got, you know, we still sit pretty high up in the NHL. Like you said, it's kind of hard to complain as we sit there. But, you know, the power play seems to be a bit of a concern for fans. They came around a little bit Saturday night, and I think you make a great point, Angela. When you're winning, I don't know if people complain near as much about certain things, but, boy, when you're losing, they're going to find what it is to complain about a little bit. So, good stuff as always.
Exactly.
I know you're busy. What do you got coming up this week?
Well, actually, I'm today's my birthday.
Oh, and, that's right. Hey, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
So I'm actually getting ready to go shoot my TV show. I'm going to have Randy Carricker on my TV show. We're going to talk a little bit today. And then I'm going to go take my 4-year-old nephew out, and we're going to have my birthday fun with him. So I'm excited.
So he gets to have fun on your birthday. That sounds
that's
like a great
day. That's just an excuse for her to get into Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, I was going to say. That's what
I'm not even lying. That really is. And it is an excuse. My brother rarely lets me take him out alone. I don't think he trusts me.
Oh, my goodness.
But I was like, but it's my birthday. So, yeah.
Wow.
I get it.
Happy birthday to you from us here. Man, you had Kimby last week, her this week. Man, it's just rolling on out. But, great stuff.
Because all good people are born in November.
My birthday
you didn't have to
that's
say
right.
That.
I love it, Angela. Nice job.
Oh.
Now you're talking. See, you're definitely on. You're first every week from now on. This is awesome. She is awesome. Being awesome.
Come on.
Tell our listeners how they can follow you, Angela.
It's just, you can follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. It's just my name, Angela Sharp. Angela has two L's. Sharp has an E at the end of it.
Well, happy birthday to you. Butter, you want to sing happy birthday to her?
Oh, you don't want me singing happy birthday.
Are you sure?
I would love to say happy birthday.
You're just going to say happy birthday. That'll be enough.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you have a great day. You've earned it. Looks like you're going to have some great weather. Sunshine in November. That's what you're all about. And we will see you next Monday.
That's right.
All right.
Hey, thank you guys so much. And let's go Blues.
That is Angela Sharp, the one and only, and you can see her at all Blues games. Really, you can see her on just about anything these days. She is one busy girl. As Tom Ackerman said, very good at what she does, and aspirations to keep doing more and more within this industry and business, and she does a great job. So we wish her nothing but continued luck and success with her career. But again, find her at the Blues games, folks. She's really great to converse with during games, has a lot of fun, can help you, have a great time at the game. So find her. She's always around. you know, again, I know we're going to kind of beat on this ice thing to death, but I do want to get Jamie's take on it because, like I said, I mean, he played down at Scott Trade for years and just curious. But it did. It kind of shocked me the night because, again, I'm just sitting there going, man, I thought they were supposed to address this. But if it's just something that's never going to go away, I find it hard to believe, to your point. I mean, does this go on everywhere? Does it not? I mean, okay, well, it's unseasonably warm. Does this happen in L.A.? Does it happen in Florida? I mean, that's kind of what I'm curious about.
Yeah, I don't know. I would assume they might have a little bit different cooling systems than us, maybe, because it's very much, you know, hotter there. But I don't know. It seems like it's not something uncommon to St. Louis ice. How's that?
Well, like I said, I don't understand why. I mean, if they can have if they don't have this problem in L.A. or Phoenix or Florida, why do we have it in St. Louis?
It's the humidity.
Oh, wow. Butter. Another country heard from. Well, speaking of another country heard from. Always from another country as we go on the bench with Butter. Time to break down the latest Blues action as brought to you by Tax Resolution by TommyBrown.com. Our own in-studio co-host that can help you with... mainly proactive tax planning is what he's specializing in these days. If you own a company, find yourself self-employed, and you'd prefer to use your money to your advantage rather than just give it away, make sure you contact Tommy Brown. Tommy, they can call you at
618-407-3674.
And again, I always say he'll help you with your taxes, and if you get in trouble, he'll help you with that too, but he would really like to help you with your proactive tax planning. So again, Tax Resolution by TommyBrown.com. Give him an opportunity to assist you with anything you may need in that department. Let's go to a guy that, man, I can't believe this guy doesn't need help with his taxes because he does about 35 different things.
That's true.
Jamie Rivers, what's going on, pal?
Hey, boys, how we doing?
Well, time to go on the bench, and curious to get your take as we had a weekend of hockey here in St. Louis. Full bellies and everybody probably having some cocktails watching some Blues hockey. Kind of had a tale of two games. You want to break down the Friday game for us a little bit?
Yeah, well, look, you know, Nashville game was a huge game. Everybody was treating it like a playoff-style game, which they should. I mean, this is a team that has been a rival of ours for, you know, last couple of years. The fans have a really good time going back and forth with the rivalry. I know the players do. And then, you know, to throw a little salt in the wound, certainly them eliminating us last year from the Stanley Cup playoffs is enough to, you know, inspire anybody to hate the opposition. And... you know, the build-up to the game was there. A curious decision by Mike Yeo to start Carter Hutton. I mean, I understand the reason. It's his former team and all this stuff. But I was still a little bit worried. Well, Carter Hutton put that to rest pretty quickly. He played outstanding, and he has been outstanding when called upon. So, you know, him being in the net and getting the loss is unfortunate just because his team couldn't score goals that night. The biggest thing that jumped off the page at me was that night, and I'm hoping not overall, but that night, Nashville looked faster than the Blues. And I don't know if that's an everyday thing, where they're just simply faster than us in general, or if that was just the other night. You know, I don't know what you saw, Hans, but quite honestly, they looked faster. They were closing lanes quick. The Blues couldn't get through the neutral zone. Their power play breakout was non-existent because they kept trying to drop pass, and Nashville was filling the lanes. And I don't know. That's what I saw. What do you think?
No, I agree. I thought they were faster to the pucks. I thought their F2 was faster than our F2 as far as getting there for support. I felt like we were outnumbered a lot, and they kind of isolated Blues players who were in possession a lot. The power play, you know, when they were doing the drop pass, and Blues were doing the drop pass in the neutral zone, and you got – Nashville pretty much just kind of lined up across the blue line. They're not moving, but Nashville gained speed really quickly, like their first couple, you know, their first step, and they're able to react off something where they're kind of like sitting still a little bit, and that's what they did. And Blues didn't enter the zone well, and they didn't exit the zone well, and again, that goes to what we talked before about how important those blue lines are.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure, you know. And then you add the fact that when you can't score goals, you can't win hockey games. I mean, it's just the bottom line. And they couldn't beat Pekka that night. And, of course, unfortunately, again, our power play, you know, my God, like we talked for, you know, at least a week or two in advance about how we want to make sure this is better, because at some point it's going to come into play. I felt like Friday night it came into play, to where if you can't score a power play goal and you're not scoring a 5-on-5 goal, like, you're just not going to win. And I just, my biggest thing that I saw from it was their zone entries were non-existent. You know, Nashville played real smart by, you know, stacking four guys across, which all that means is they keep four guys in the neutral zone, and they're forcing you to dump the puck so that they can get into a puck battle down on their end. Well, the breakout that the Blues traditionally use, which is that, you know, first guy carries the puck up hard and then throws it all the way back to the second guy coming with a second wave to, you know, basically have the other team caught flat-footed, it wasn't working because nobody was going to the first puck carrier. So if nobody goes to that guy, it's kind of pointless to throw it back to the second guy who's underneath. And they were still throwing it back to the second guy, and he had nowhere to go with it. So Nashville, certainly doing their pre-scout on that, made a good adjustment, and it really kind of threw the Blues for a loop.
Because the only guy that's moving at that point is the guy with the puck. And again, when they're stacked, he's got nowhere to go. And that means the Blues, the other four on the ice for the Blues, are kind of standing still too at the blue line. And so Nashville was just, they were willing to accept that puck battle down low, and then they got there from most of the time and just got rid of it.
Yeah, I was a little perplexed as to why they didn't adjust that. And, you know, quite honestly, the simple adjustment for that one is to just abandon that drop pass guy, and you just have all five guys when the puck's dumped down. You flank your four guys without the puck. They all regroup at the blue line, crisscross, right, build up speed, and the guy from behind the net comes up full speed, doesn't even stop behind the net, just rounds the net and goes. And now you have full speed four or five guys that when you get to the red line, you chip it in deep. There's no way that those defensemen, those forwards for the opposition, and get back there in time to even create a puck battle when you do that. So I was curious as to why they didn't go to that, but, you know, maybe they were seeing something that I wasn't.
You know, Gary and I were watching the game at a friend's house. We had some friends in and a bunch of people, so it was like one of the across the room huge televisions. And I had told Gary in the third period, I don't know if he remembers this, but I said, we're really going to struggle tonight. I said, if you notice, because, you know, it's a huge television, so, right, you know, when you see the thing. I'm like, every time we get on the other side of the red line and when Nashville's in the defensive zone, all five of their guys are in the picture. And that was something that they talked a lot about when Chicago was on their run. They played that five-man unit defensively, and if they stayed together – and, boy, Nashville really seems to be implementing that system defensively, playing really well, not scattered out, not running around. Is that something you're seeing a lot of NHL teams try to – like, is that a system?
Yeah, it is. It's called a swarm defense in the defensive zone. And you're basically taking half ice from the middle of the goal to the boards, and you're stacking five guys in that area. And your two high guys – come down relatively low to where your weak side winger would cover the slot and your strong side winger takes away the pass of the defenseman. So basically it's a feeling for a player that's on offense where you feel like the walls are caving in on you because everywhere you turn, there's somebody there. And you've got three guys down low, two other guys that are coming down low to close off those lanes. The only thing you can really do when you have a swarm defense like that is you have to change puck side. So your weak side defenseman has to become a big part of it to where when you get possession, you want to rim that puck around the wall to your far defenseman. And that way there you've established puck control over there and it spreads them out then. Because when there's movement from one small area to try and cover a bigger area, there's seams, there's shot lanes, there's pass lanes, there's all sorts of stuff. But you got to get control of the puck to be able to do that. And it just didn't seem like they were able to really established that puck possession that they wanted.
Yeah, and when they did have good control, I mean, Nashville did a really good job of giving them space for shots, but the shots were from way outside. There wasn't much inside at all for the Blues to get greasy goals or dirty goals down low.
Well, really, when you look at it, and I heard somebody say it yesterday, and I forget who, I would love to give them credit for it, but Nashville and St. Louis are very similar in style of play. And it looked like on Friday night that Nashville just was better at that style of play than the Blues, because it's very similar. They, you know, they plug the middle of the ice. They force shots from out wide. They box out. They have the layers in the defensive zone. It's all very, very similar. So it looks like Friday night they were just able to get one on Carter Hutton, and then after that they just plugged the middle of the ice and forced the Blues into low percentage opportunities. And when the Blues tried to force it to get inside that box, the pucks were batted down, deflected, shot away, whatever. It just became somewhat frustrating. So in my opinion, I guess the overall of it is the both teams played pretty solid. Nashville looked faster, and it looked like they were better at the Blues style of game that night.
Well, whatever your main concern with the Blues is, they get an opportunity to come right back on Saturday night and have another home game, this time against Minnesota, always an interesting battle with the Wild. You know, a remedy, if you will, for everyone's ills is they come right out and get a power play goal from Paul Stastny. That's got to make everybody feel all warm and fuzzy about the power play, which seems to have everybody concerned. And we get a spirited bout of fisticuffs. And you were happy to tweet this out from Chris Thorburn. You're feeling he's finding his stride?
Well, you know, we've been, not we as in you and I and Hentz and all that and Kimby, but the, in general, the fans in St. Louis, right? And I answered another question for a fan the other night on Twitter that, you know, they talked about how hard is it to come into a locker room and take over that role. And let's be honest, guys, like whether it's a goal scorer or a fighter or someone who's just extremely popular in that fan base, it's difficult to go in there when you're kind of sort of the same player, right? And automatically you're compared to that player. And automatically the first reaction is, well, he's not so-and-so. And in this case, you know, Chris Thorburn, oh, he's not Ryan Reeves. Oh, he's nowhere near Ryan Reeves. Well, you know what? No, he never came in saying, hey, guys, I'm the replacement for Ryan Reeves. He's just supposed to come in and play his game. And you know what? That was difficult, I'm sure, to start off for him. And he struggled to get ice time, struggled with his play early on, and was justifiably healthy scratched. And then something in the last four or five games has clicked. So I think what's happening is he's finally starting to understand the way Mike Gill wants him to play, the way the St. Louis Blues play hockey. He's getting used to Kyle Brodziak and Scotty Upshaw as line mates, that they bring, you know, some grit and tremendous speed from Upshaw. So to me, he looks more comfortable out there. And his ice time has been reflecting it. You know, he's getting 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes of ice time, and he's contributing. He got another assist the other night. Should have had a goal. Got robbed.
Yeah.
Then he has what, you know, quite honestly, not just a spirited bout. Like, in talking to him afterwards, you know, he, and this is going to seem, it's a little bit, you know, it's got that jazz to it. His, and he may not want me to disclose this, but it's not a bad thing. I think it's a great thing. Is, you know, he said halfway through the fight, he was exhausted and literally just wanted to stop fighting, but that he felt like he owed it to the Blues fans to keep fighting, and that he, there's no way he was going down. He was going to fight that thing, and that's it, you know?
Yeah.
And if you watch the fight, after he said that, I watched it like, I don't know, 10 times. And you see him literally where his face at one point looks like he's going to give up. And then all of a sudden he starts to throw more and more and more and just keep going. And it's like, I wish all the fans realized that now you've got a guy who's bought into it. Like, he wants to do really well for these fans. So I'm hoping they realize that, you know, he's got way more to offer than we probably gave him credit for. And that he's playing pretty good hockey right now. I mean, he's not going to be breaking scoring records and doing all this stuff, but he's playing pretty good Chris Thorburn hockey.
Yeah, I think he's playing good, Ribs. But so Panger kind of touched on it, and this, didn't you think that was kind of a weird time for Stewart to ask for that?
What was the score? 2-0
Yeah, it was 2-0 early in the first. It just seemed kind of odd.
Well, you know why, though? Because here's what happens, Hens, and I'm sure, you know, you've been behind the bench enough and been with hockey. is the coaches on the bench probably are like, we're not even in this game. We're not doing this. Get our heads out of our asses. Or, you know, something's being said by some form of leadership at that point that Chris Stewart probably said, you know what? I need to try and change the momentum here. And that's kind of the rule. You know, the 2-goal lead early in the game, it's usually like, okay, we got to do something here. So you either got to have a lineup that's going to go in and play real physical and get pucks down low and gain some momentum. Or if you got a guy like Chris Stewart, who's a veteran guy, you know, he's thinking, you know what? Time to change the momentum here. Yeah. Unfortunately, in my opinion, it just created more momentum for the Blues.
Exactly. That's why I thought it was weird, because
yeah, but,
the Blues had it.
It's not weird because Chris Stewart thinks he's going to beat up Thorburn.
Yeah.
He thinks that. He does. He thinks he is, right? So,
yeah.
Like, if I go pick a fight with somebody, I'm not picking a fight thinking, well, yeah, I'm going to pick a fight with this guy because I'm going to get my ass handed to me. No. You know, you're picking a fight because you're like, I'm going to beat this guy's ass.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, it didn't turn out that way. And then if the fight ends halfway through, you think, oh, shit, Stewart kind of gave it to him. He put him down to the ice, you know.
Yeah.
But then Thorburn gets back up and keeps going, right? And
right.
So now from that moment, everything after that was gravy as far as momentum's concerned for the Blues.
Well, we get some power play goals, which maybe for an evening at least squashes some of the Blues fans' concerns, including, Puck just going in. Well, we talked about it. Jaden Schwartz, a guy that couldn't buy a goal last year. They're going in droves right now. But Sammy Blais gets his first goal in the NHL. Your thoughts?
Oh, well, it's awesome. You know, and you know what the funny thing is I was laughing to myself because Sammy Blais' first NHL goal comes after he makes a mistake and the other team scores.
Yeah,
and
big mistake.
I'm telling you, you know what, though, but hence – the best thing, if you look back to my first NHL goal, two shifts or three shifts before that, I turned the puck over in my end, and the Vancouver Canucks go up 3-2 on us. And I'm like, oh, my God. It was bad. Like, I came around to the boards, and I tried to backhand soft one to our center. It just got knocked down. One of those situations where a young kid doesn't realize how good guys are with their sticks. Knocks it down, goes in and buries it. And I'm like, oh, my God. It's the third period. I come to the bench. Quenville's losing his mind on me. And then the Jimmy Roberts factor kicks in, right? He looks at me, and he basically tells me, you know, don't fucking cry on my bench. You know,
right.
He's like, and I wasn't crying, but what he meant was like, don't sit there and feel bad for yourself. He goes, don't cry on my bench. He goes, you don't like what happened? You go change it. And then he goes down and talks to Quenville, and Quenville comes down and says, you got one more fucking shift. And so we go out there, and the next shift, I go down the ice, I jump into the play, Joe Murphy pulls up, sets me up for a one-timer, and I score a goal on Kirk McLean for my first NHL goal.
A one-timer?
So, a one-timer.
You should get that highlight and show it to 91.
I'll tell you what, there's a few. But my point is that it was awesome because right away when it happened, I thought, oh, my God, that reminds me so much of the time I scored my first NHL goal. And it was great that Mike Yeo put him back out there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like he could have said, oh, shit, here we go again. These are the little mistakes that got him set down. This is what he needs to learn, blah, 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 blah. It's easy for a coach
to
stack on the negatives. And he didn't. Put him back out there and gets a great goal.
Hey, we can't not address the fact that you said Joe Murphy. I mean, wasn't that guy a space cadet?
Joe Murphy, baby.
Wasn't he wasn't he out there?
Okay, so here's the thing about Joe Murphy. You know what? And I'm gonna give full credit here. Joe Murphy, when I broke into the league, I know you're gonna find this hard to believe, but I was kind of known as a free spirit. And maybe I wasn't as dedicated to the work that goes into it as to just playing the games and then, you know, play hard now, play hard later type thing, you know. And Joe Murphy, the one year, grabs me in the middle of the summer. He's like, and he is weird, okay? There's no doubt he's out there. And he's like, and the way he talks, he's like, hey, Rib, he's like, I was thinking, you know, instead of like going out to drink, we should just do late night workouts. And I was like, okay, fine. And he goes, there's a lot of hot girls that work out at night. So I sit there and I'm, you know, I'm 19 at the time. And I'm going, you know what? Okay, I'll do it. And sure as shit, we started to work out at night instead of going out to, you know, to taste test the local beers that they had available. And it's amazing how much it changed. And it's amazing how much the coaching staff's view of me changed, too. And once you notice that, and like, we just started to, I started to do better. And I really have to give credit to Joe Murphy. As crazy and as warped as he was at times, you know, he always wanted to win. And he wanted to do well. He never liked playing shitty. And one thing, a fact you don't know about Joe Murphy, is that he was on the dean's list for academics while in college.
Where?
So, yeah, he's one of those guys that is, like, way out in left field, but left field's really smart.
I mean, this was a long time ago, but if and I do you guys remember this? Wasn't he the one that believes in, like, aliens and shit? Isn't that right?
Yeah. He does.
Yeah, he thinks, like, yeah.
Well, is he wrong, though? We don't
well,
know.
Well, I don't know, but I mean, but like, he had some pretty wild theories, if I remember. I just think that...
He's so sold Riz on some
of that. Riz, okay. Yeah, Riz is like, thinks there's a Mars thing going on here.
I was like, you know what, JoJo? You do your thing, man. That's great. After the workouts, you go home. I'm going to do a home. We're not really hanging out here, you know?
Well,
hey, I got a great Joe Murphy story for you. I know we're going to run a little bit longer because we got more stuff. But you got to hear this since we're on the topic, and we'll probably never be on Joe Murphy topic again.
You said his name, and that's what I'm like. You cannot say Joe Murphy and not talk about Joe Murphy.
Oh yeah, well, exactly right. So here's a great story. Mike Keenan is our coach, which everybody just can't stand him anyway. So this is a funny story that way. Is we're in MSG. Mike Keenan's first game back to MSG after basically dumping the Rangers to coach the Blues. We're down by a goal, and Mike calls a timeout. And we pull the goalie, and he's trying to drop a play, and Joe Murphy is going to be one of the guys that's on the ice. And he's like, okay, Murph, I need you here. And Murph looks at him, and Murph liked to refer to himself in the third person. And so he looks at him, and he goes, Mike, can't go. Mike's like, what do you mean? He goes, JoJo's tired. And, like, we're sitting there looking at this, and I'm like, what the hell did he just say? And Keenan looks at him, he goes, what? He goes, can't go. JoJo's tired. Like, and I shit you not, he's saying it just like that. And Keenan's, like, red in the face, and he's like, JoJo, I need you to get the fuck out there. And now the timeout's ticking away. And then the last thing, he's like, Mike, I can't go. JoJo's tired. So we go out there. And now we had to put somebody else on the ice because JoJo's tired, right? And we go out there, and they come down, and they score on our empty net. And, of course, you know, Mike is not too thrilled with JoJo at that point. So he comes in the locker room at MSG and tries to get everybody's attention by slamming the door behind himself as he comes into the room. Well, the training staff, everybody's running the team, like, gets out of there because, like, oh, shit, I don't want to be standing in the hallway when he comes out after this. Because he just – Mike was the type of guy that anybody he saw, he just started carving up left and right in those situations. And so he goes around the room, and he's yelling at everybody. And he's like, JoJo, what the hell's going on? How? What happened there? And he's like, Mike, I don't know. JoJo's still tired. And I mean, it was unbelievable. Like, now at this point, guys are like, have snot bubbles and shit because they're trying not to laugh, but they can't help themselves. And literally, it's like, oh, my God. So Mike says, you know, whatever, and he goes to leave the room. The door is locked behind him. Somehow, some way, it was either stuck or locked. I'm not sure. Keenan can't leave the room now. So he's got to sit in the room and stare at us. And now finally some of the older guys are like, okay, well, screw this. You know, we're taking off our gear. And so everybody starts getting undressed, and Keenan's still sitting in the room staring at people. And I'm like, I'm young. I'm 19, I think, or maybe 20. I mean, I'm having a hard time handling this as it is. And these guys are, you know, everybody's like, "Hey, JoJo, got enough energy to take a shower?" Yeah, and but so, and then finally the trainers or somebody opens the door and Mike storms out. But guys, I'm telling you, it was one of the funniest things I've ever been a part of, and it was our good buddy Joe Murphy that's at the head of it.
Oh, boy. Like I said, you brought up JoJo, not us, so we had to have a JoJo story, and that's good stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, let's move on to our innovated construction heating and cooling Twitter poll. I'm sure you're curious about these results. I want to remind everybody this segment's brought to you by Innovated Heating and Cooling. Our good friends Randy and Stephanie Green, they handle the heating and cooling needs for your new construction. They do full replacement on HVAC systems. Residential, commercial, they can help you with refrigerations, walk-ins, all the ductwork you may need, preventative maintenance, inspection violations. They're fully licensed, bonded, and insured. They have 35-plus years of experience, and he is a second-generation craftsman. Give them an opportunity for your business. Innovated Companies. InnovatedCompanies.com. All right, our Twitter poll was, what's your biggest concern for the St. Louis Blues currently? Now, I use the term currently because it changes from day to day. But so I'll go around the room and give you guys, and we'll start over here with Butter. I'll give you the choices, and you give me your answer. So the choices were power play, penalty kill, third line scoring, or physical toughness. Butter, what was your vote?
I would go with the power play.
But Henson, Coach Henson.
I voted power play.
And Mr. Rivers.
I voted third line scoring.
Oh, Yaskin's tearing it up.
And I voted power play as well. So we will move right along. We'll start with you, Jamie. Your thoughts on the poll.
Well, look, I understand how everybody's first reaction is the power play. There's no doubt.
And which one in a landslide, really not, by the way?
It's not even, like, what I'm saying is I'm not even arguing that. Like, I get it, and I could have voted for both, to be honest, like, because they both, to me, are concerns. Now, however, I do feel like the power play will have success quicker, as they did again against Minnesota 2 nights later. The power play will have success again quicker than we're going to find third-line scoring out of this group. And that's a fact. It really is. And you know, they've switched up the D, and they've done some things. Mike Yeo's got our buddy Vince Dunn now on the power play. He shifted some guys around. They went, 3-for-6 the other night. 50% is pretty damn good the last time I checked any percentage for a power play. And so that's why I picked third line, because the power play has the ability to turn it around at a quicker pace than I think we're going to see third line scoring.
Well, again, I thought – there was sub-Barrett to anything anybody may want to say in here. You know, Kimball's been banging the drum about the physical toughness of the team, and can we match that up, especially in the playoffs? That one surprisingly didn't garner much attention at all. Power play won in a landslide. Penalty kill and third-line scoring was kind of neck and neck. But, again, third-line scoring, Henson, you mentioned it. I mean, I think Yaskin's playing a little bit better, and if Berglund comes back and plays like you think he's going to play, Jamie, we may – solve those problems a little sooner rather than later, maybe?
I hope so. And here's the thing with Dmitri Yaskin is, and I know that you guys see the same things as I do, is he does this every so often. And he kind of gives you just enough meat on the bone to not starve to death. And then it goes away. And that's the biggest problem I have with it is, can we just get this consistency? And I don't expect him to score every game. Just certainly not every game. But if he scored like once every 4 or 5 games or did something, like, now you've got something to build off of. And I think when Berge comes back, these guys are going to be pretty good out there. And, you know, we'll see what they develop apart from that for that third line. It'll be interesting to see who's in, who's out, who gets shifted where. But if Yaskin can continue to go like he has the last couple of games and look like he's giving an effort out there, and I think Berglund's going to come back hungry, and I think he's going to play pretty well. Yeah, it's looking like the third line will be trending upward, and what they do from there, is to be determined.
On that note, let's move right into our Twitter questions, which are brought to you by Innovated Electric. We'll talk a little bit about them in a minute. I want to get right to this question because I think it addresses the third line, and I actually brought it up on the show Thursday just thinking outside the box, and lo and behold, all of a sudden now it's a rumor. I'm not saying it has anything to do with what I said. I wonder if there's any truth to it, so I'm curious your thoughts. Article out of Edmonton that Edmonton may be looking to move Pat Maroon. And you know, with his cap hit, with what he brings to the table. There are some rumors that St. Louis is interested in him. Any thoughts from you on that?
Well, you know, we kind of covered it on Thursday. Was I just don't think it's a good fit for him. You know, Patty Maroon, when he was a younger player, you know, he had lots of influences around him that we'll say maybe weren't the best. And doesn't mean he's a bad guy, bad kid. Look, I just told you, you know, that I wasn't exactly the most stellar professional when I first joined the NHL. So Patrick Maroon was, you know, somewhat the same. And I just don't think that playing in his hometown right now is the best thing for him. Now, that aside, if the Blues were able to get him, you have a little bit of a dilemma. And yes, would he increase third line scoring? 100%. Physicality, check that box. You know, fighting, check that box. You know, he's got, can he play power play? Check that box. He checks a lot of boxes. However, he checks those boxes traditionally, if you watch him, playing in the top six. And when he was in Anaheim and he was third liner, his production dropped substantially. And that's why he was traded, because realistically the year before, with the performance he had with Getzlaff and Perry, why would you ever trade this guy, right? Well, they traded him because on the third line slot, he doesn't get the touches or the scoring opportunities because of his line mates or whatever it is, the ice time. I'm not sure exactly. So bringing him in, you're looking at now he's going to be third line. Can he produce? I'm not sure. And he's a powerful guy, but he's not the fastest player. And he's never been the fastest player. So now if what holds true about you guys saying Berglund comes in and we get slower, okay. Now we had Patrick Maroon. We got slower again because he's definitely not as fast as Pay-Arvey. So are we headed in the right direction, especially after we just said that Nashville came in here and looked faster?
Right.
So I don't know. I just don't think that bringing in a guy like that to play third line is the right move.
Okay.
You know, could he produce? Yes, if he's playing top six. Well, that's my scouting report on it.
Interesting thoughts, because like I said, he sure looks to fill, like you said, he sure checks a lot of boxes. Great question from Alex Thomas at atom39. Let's move on to the next one as it addresses the winning of our poll. So they want to know from @Shen_Sational. That's really clever. Do you think our power play is starting to find its way, or was last night just a lucky night for them? And referring to Saturday.
Yeah, well, no, I don't think it was lucky. I think it was overdue, for one thing. But, you know, we've talked about this before. If you look at the guys that are on the ice, the staff of players that are on the ice for the power play, there's no way we shouldn't be successful with the man advantage. So do I think it was lucky? No, it was overdue. And it, quite honestly, not that they should go 50%, but, you know, they should be hovering somewhere in around that, you know, 23% to 24% on the power play with the staff that we have. So I think that's going to change here. I think that they simplified things a little bit. I like the units they have. So I'm anticipating that the power play is going to jump into action here and be a lot more prominent in the next handful of games.
Yeah, it looked like it was just a little different. I know the setup and the players, most of the personnel was the same, but remember, Ribs, we talked about it last week. Sometimes I think the Blues move the puck too much and don't shoot enough. And it looked like on Saturday they were trying to, you know, 2-3 passes and get a shot. And I think that was even like Sobotka's shot in where on the first goal where Stastny deflects it. I mean, it's not like he went ripping it, but it looked like he kind of felt, okay, we moved it enough. We got to get something on net here. And lo and behold, they get a goal.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You know, by switching some of the staff on the power play, it's actually forced them to be a little simpler because they don't have all of their dynamic players in one unit. And as great as that can be, sometimes having too many guys who are so good with the puck doesn't necessarily translate into goals because they all want either to make the picture perfect pass or score the picture perfect goal. And that's not always a reality in the NHL.
Good question here from maybe an insight type question that maybe you have, maybe you don't, or maybe you can't share, from Rick B. at rbet31. Does Jamie have any insight on why Armstrong is still without an extension?
I think the answer is obvious, honestly. He hasn't gotten them to a Stanley Cup final. He's had some pretty damn good hockey teams. He's made some, curious decisions on player movement at times. He's made some trades that we're not sure about, some draft picks that haven't quite turned out. So, when you're looking at an extension for one of these guys, like, it's big money. I don't know if people understand that, like, GMs make upwards of $3 to $5 million a year. And, like, that's a big chunk of change. And if you're going to commit a guy, like, if you stay with a GM, ordinarily you don't give him a one-year extension. Because, most of the time they have a 3 or a 5 year plan for that team. And you can't go switching your GMs every year, because then all you do is you extend that plan longer and longer because you got more things to move to make that guy happy. So if they're going to do an extension with Doug Armstrong, it's going to be 3 or 5 years, in my opinion. And I don't know if they're sold yet on the fact that they're going to do that. There's been some criticism, certainly some opinions as to how he's done some things. And look, I'm a believer in you always put your best performance out there when you're under the gun, like when it means something. So it's the same as saying, why is there a Stanley Cup final? Right? Well, why doesn't everybody just keep playing because, they just get to keep playing? No, because they're expected to win. And that's like the GM. He's expected to do something in order to earn that spot. And I still think that they're looking for him to continue doing this, making good decisions.
Well, that's a good thought. Lastly, we had too many to count, but everybody wanting to know what in the hell is going on with the ice. I think it was pretty obvious the ice wasn't in the greatest shape this weekend. We talked about it a little bit at the beginning of the show. Angela mentioned a lot of grumblings amongst fans. I know we dealt with it for a long time. We thought the upgrades were going to deal with this. You played at Scott Trade. Tell our fans, do you have any insight on why the ice is like that sometimes and why it's still like that after they said the renovations would address it?
Yeah, I've been down on that ice quite a bit this year. And to me, it seemed, in the early part of the season, it seemed fine. Really did. It seemed like it was better. It seemed like it was faster. For a little while. I don't know. I don't pay attention to this stuff, and maybe you guys have some more information on it, but I don't know if they've got other events that are coming in now more regularly that they're having to put the floor down over top of it, adjust the temperature. I don't know if the temperature outside is playing games with it at all by hotter than it should be. I mean, it shouldn't really have any bearing on a system that's that expensive, but like, you just never know all these things. And right now they've got to figure it out because, like you said, all this money spent on improvements to the building, this should have been their major focus as far as the on-ice product goes. So I don't know exactly how they're going to fix it or what they're saying behind closed doors about it, but I do know that the surface itself has fallen below acceptable in the last 3 weeks.
It is amazing to me. Do you guys remember when Doug Waite was here, didn't we go through like a whole season of like tons of groin injuries because the ice was so soft, guys were losing footing, and it just always seems to be a topic of discussion. And I was asking these guys, and maybe you know the answer, it was unseasonably warm. Well, they play hockey in L.A. and Arizona and Florida last time I checked. Do they have these problems?
Sometimes your system is set up. Like, everything's automated these days, right? And so your system is supposed to recalibrate itself as to the temperature of the building. And it's like an air conditioner in your home, right? It kicks on when the temperature drops below a certain point. Now, we're relying on the machine to establish that the fact that it's maybe a little warmer out or there's more humidity in the building and now it should be kicking on or working harder or I don't know enough about it to say why it's happening. But I can say this, that the ice in all those areas that you mentioned is awful. Like, awful. The ice is terrible in all those areas that you just brought up. So is it something to do with the temperature outside? I think it does affect it. But I know I've played on every one of those ice surfaces that you talked about, and probably a few more that are located in some warmer areas, that the ice is traditionally awful in those rinks.
Huh. Interesting to say. And that was kind of the question. I mean, do we know? I mean, so anyway, that's good stuff, man. Hey, I know we've kept you way longer, and you were kind enough to stay on and answer all the questions. Your segment every Monday is brought to us by, obviously, our good friends, the Nelson family, with NelsonLandServices.com. We encourage everybody to check them out for all of their landscaping needs. You can probably see something on NelsonLandServices.com that might pique your interest, especially if you have a large-scale job that needs done. And if you've been down in the Ozarks, you've definitely seen their work at some of those beautiful homes around the lake. But they're such a great family, and they're so supportive, especially of the amateur hockey in the community. And then, of course, Synergy Hockey as well. Tell our listeners what you got going on with Synergy.
Next order of business for Synergy Hockey is the holiday camps. We'll have two of them this year. It'll be after Christmas, so to give parents some time to give their kids something to do while they're off to school and get a little bit of skill work in as they head into what youth hockey has is the most important time of year, which is the new year, where everybody makes their little playoff runs and big tournaments and all those things. So keep your eyes posted on synergyhockeyskills.com. We'll be posting those things very shortly, probably the next day or two, so that people can get signed up for holiday camps.
Well, great stuff, Ribs. We appreciate you, and I'm sure I'll see you in studio on Thursday.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Good talk, as always.
All right. That is Jamie Rivers again. Great to always have him, whether it be in studio on Thursdays or calling in. And remember, we always go on the bench with Butter to get a breakdown of the latest games. And we appreciate Tommy Brown in studio, of course, with his Tommy Brown Tax Resolution Specialist. Again, give him an opportunity to assist you with all your tax needs. You know, the Twitter questions, again, I love how they come in from the fans, and Jamie's able to break some of those down. But I got to tell you, I could listen to Joe Murphy's stories all day long.
That was funny.
That is good stuff. And again, that's what we hope you guys enjoy about this, is those are kind of some of the insightful things you may get from time to time from a former NHLer. Another one of the things we're enjoying doing here is obviously the segments that give another look, another view from especially fans and alike. Just to throw a little curveball at you guys. One of those is live from Inter Arena. Everybody's familiar with Dennis and his wonderful man cave that he has in the basement. He does such a great job being involved in the community when it comes to just supporting Blues hockey and jumping on for the conversation. He's become quite the celebrity. You can hear him on KMOX and hear him now with his live from Inter Arena. Let's see what he's got for us this week. Take it away, Dennis.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me back, and hope you all had a good Thanksgiving like I did with all my family. Hey, this is Dennis live from Inter Arena. Check me out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Inter Arena, M-I-N-N-E-R, Inter Arena. And holy cow, guys, we are number one in the division. We're number one in the NHL. I know we still have like 60 games left, but how in the world can you be a Blues fan and not be excited right now, especially watching the Shvorchenko line? All three of these guys, Schwartz, Tarasenko, Shin, they are all three leading the NHL in plus minus. Guys, I'm telling you, this is a team that can go far. I know it's a long way out, but hey, I am beyond excited. But hey, this week going to do a little bit different on the podcast. I threw out an opportunity for people to ask me questions on my Twitter at Inter Arena, and also to ask me questions on St. Louis Blues hockey memes on Facebook. And I wanted to grab a handful of the questions as time permits and go over some of those. Okay, so let's hit this first one. Mark Burton from the memes page asked, what are the odds we see Koskinen playing with the Blues this season? Man, I've got to be honest with you. I'm really excited about Klim Kostin and what he can do in the future. I'm excited, especially just the way he interacts with people when he sees them, even though his English is broken. My four-year-old, you ask her who her favorite Blues player is, and she tells you Kostin. He winked at her one night at a practice, and she has fallen in love with him ever since. But here's the thing. After shoulder surgery, it was a mystery on where he was even going to be. I personally definitely had high hopes, especially watching him over practice this summer. So far, he's played 18 of the 19 Rampage games. He's only put in a couple goals, but he does have 7 assists, and he's a plus 4. My opinion, verdict's still out. I do not think there's any chance we're going to be seeing him this season with players like Blay, Thompson, even Schmaltz being impressive. But remember, the kid's, what, 18, 19 years old? So Kostin is definitely going to be a name I think we're going to hear in the next few years. Kerry Butel from St. Louis Blues Hockey Memes asks, when is Scott Trade going to take the plunge and install ranch dispensers? Ranch dressing? Are you kidding? We're not in Michigan. We don't need ranch dressing with our pizza or our toasted ravs, all right? That's what marinara sauce is for. Moving on. Hey, Jason Kaiser from St. Louis Blues Hockey Memes asks, as a season ticket holder, what do you think of the in-game entertainment during timeouts and breaks in action? What would you like to see more or less of? You know, Jason, to be honest, I liked it better when it was just Angela Sharp. I thought she did a great job. It was nice having one voice of someone during the game as a hype person, being Angela, doing the interviews, the games, everything. It just made sense. Last year, they added Patrico. He came in with very, very mixed reviews with the fans. I liked him, you know, knowing him from the Rizzuto show in the morning, chatting with him a couple times. I really got to like him. Now there's another guy. I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't even know the new guy's name. It seems like now they just keep adding people. You know, I think often it's more annoying than it is funny. But I get it. I understand why they do it. But getting the arena to scream loud when seeing a picture of a turkey, or to get your bubble hockey player to score the goal because your side is louder, never gets me to make a sound, all right? Another question. Beth Spies asks, how long did it take to make your man cave? How much did it cost, and what's your favorite or most treasured item in your arena? It took about a year to do. My next-door neighbor is a general contractor, so he helped do all the construction, and then I started piecing everything together. How much did it cost? A lot. We'll just leave it at that. What's your favorite or most treasured item in your arena? Hands down, it is my Kyle Brodziak team sign jersey. I did a photo shoot with his family a few years ago, and that was a thank you gift from them. He had the whole entire team sign it. So, hey, that's all I've got time for this time. My time is up, but make sure and listen next week. I'm going to have an exciting 5 minutes. I'm going to have a lot of inside information on upcoming additions to the Scott Trade Center. I'm going to be taking a personal private tour there next Wednesday, meeting with some of the execs and some of the other fans on social media, and hopefully we'll have a lot of input for you guys. So again, check me out at Mint Arena, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and let's go Blues!
You know, there's nothing better than a guy that loves to talk about Blues hockey, knows that he's a fan just like everybody else, but it takes it really serious and takes his role in something really serious. And he's having a great time with it, and I'm enjoying listening to his segments.
I bet Mint Arena's got good ice.
Mint Arena does have good ice. It pours in the drinks really well, and we're going to find out here as we do a live show here coming up real soon. Another gentleman who does a great job sharing both opinion, fandom, whatever you want to call it, on his wonderful rag. I saw somebody else call it a rag this weekend on social media.
I'm kind of hoping awesome. That takes off, like the rag.
Hashtag rag. St. Louis rag. No, Brad Lee does a great job. He's got his own podcast now. He's doing a lot of tremendous things with his support of Blues hockey. Weekends like this are busier than heck for him. Back-to-back games, he puts that paper out by himself with obviously the contribution from all the people that write the wonderful segments and articles in it. But again, make sure you check it out. You can always get it before Blues games from one of their vendors around Scott Trade Center, or you can contact them directly and get it like I have it where I'm subscribed. It's in my inbox each game day as soon as he gets it done. Let's see what Brad's got for us on his St. Louis Game Time report this week.
Hello and welcome to the Game Time segment of the podcast. I'm Bradley with St. Louis Game Time. Thanks for listening. Today on my segment, I'm going to talk a little bit about the games over the weekend, Friday and Saturday, against Nashville and Minnesota, and then take a little brief look ahead and kind of an overall view of where I think the St. Louis Blues are right now. So Friday night, I was really expecting a different game from the St. Louis Blues. They were a little stubborn in how they approached it, where Nashville made a concerted effort to really stand the Blues up at the blue line and said, look, you're not going to have an unmolested entry into your offensive zone. We're gonna stand you up. We're going to make you dump the puck. And they did that. And Nashville kept retrieving the puck and clearing it. And if you notice, there was one part where I think Nashville iced the puck three or almost four times in a row without making a line change. And they kept winning the faceoff and clearing the puck, and it go down, and they didn't care it was icing because they knew they were going to win the faceoff and get it out of the zone again. And so I think that kind of points to a couple, I think, troubling things before we talk about the really solid game they had against Minnesota. One is, I think they sometimes can be a little slow on in-game adjustments. The Blues have done really well moving the puck across the blue line into the offensive zone with speed, scoring off the rush. The top line with Tarasenko, Schwartz, and Schenn has done a really good job carrying the puck and really scoring in transition instead of kind of trying to set something up. They've scored off the cycle. They've scored off of creating turnovers, but they really have shown an ability to create offensive chances with that momentum moving into the zone. So Nashville said, you're not going to do that, and we're going to stand you up with four guys, and then the fifth guy is going to go try to retrieve the puck and get it out of the zone. And if he has to ice it, you know, we'll win the faceoff and we'll do it again. So I thought the Blues were a little bit stubborn in how they approached that, where they really were not adjusting to how Nashville was playing it. That was the first thing. Second thing, I think, you know, the faceoff, obviously, I've just hinted at, has been a problem. Brayden Schenn got manhandled by Ryan Johansson. It was like 16-4 or something. I mean, Johansson won at least three, if not four times the number of faceoffs that Brayden Schenn did when they were paired up against each other. And that's a little bit disconcerting. I think the Blues have done okay on faceoffs. I don't have the stats in front of me. I should have done that. Sorry. They've done okay. Paul Stastny has definitely been their best faceoff guy. Where's Vladimir Sobotka on the faceoff? He's only taking 3, 4, 5 a game. I thought that was one of the reasons that they wanted him to come back so bad from the KHL, was to take faceoffs, especially in the offensive and defensive, you know, in the defensive zone, where he's kind of a defensive player. You know, he's going to probably contend to score double digits in goal scoring. He's only, you know, his career high in the NHL is 9. So it's not like he is a consistent threat to score, but he has done a lot of nice things, little things. He's played well in his own zone. He still is a fast skater. He still can play some defense. I'm not ragging on Vladimir Sobotka. We have in the past. I have personally. A lot of fans have said that there are other fans in Blues Nation that put Vladimir Sobotka a little bit on a pedestal, and they've tried to knock that pedestal down. And sometimes it's warranted, but I think he's had a pretty solid season. Could there be more contribution? Sure. Could he be taking more faceoffs and increasing his contribution that way? Absolutely. So that's something I think to look for. Unfortunately, he's had to play with Paul Stastny a lot, and they're going to put Paul Stastny on the faceoff dot. So maybe it's in positions where if he's on the penalty kill or in other situations, maybe he takes some third line minutes and tries to get the third line revved up. We'll see. Hopefully, Patrick Berglund is not too far away. The Blues got Jay Bouwmeester back last week. There's been some complaining on social media that Jay Bouwmeester has not been terrific. I don't think he's been bad. And I think it's more of a shift in his skill set, his ability, his physical ability, and what his mindset is. He's much more of a defensive-first defenseman instead of really trying to join the rush and really trying to work his way up ice. He is much more responsible and tries to get back much more quickly, and it's much more of an asset around the Blues net instead of, you know, in the other team's offense, in the other team's zone. So that was disappointing to see them come out and not get a goal in front of a big crowd, holiday crowd, lots of people in from out of town, people who maybe this is their only game they're going to see all year, and the Blues didn't score. So that was a little bit disconcerting. It was nice, though, that the game against Minnesota on Saturday was just less than 24 hours away, that they could come back and basically make up for some of their shortcomings on Friday night. I think one of the best moments was the Kyle Brodziak shorthanded breakaway goal, because there have been a couple fourth line guys getting him and Upshaw getting breakaways, and they didn't convert. And they take the wind out of your sails a little bit. Everyone gets amped up. Oh, he's got a breakaway, and he doesn't score. And it's kind of a deflating thing, especially on home ice, where the fans get all revved up in the building and you can feel the energy and it just wants to burst and there's not the payoff. And all of a sudden there's this like disappointment that goes through the building, and it can affect the team a little bit. So instead of it being an exciting scoring opportunity and it pays off, it sometimes can be detrimental. So him going bar down on that was awesome. I thought Jake Allen played okay. There is an emerging conversation on social media, on our website at stlouisgametime.com, in our paper that you can find outside every Blues home game, talking about how to judge Jake Allen's effectiveness. You know, going into the game on Saturday night, his goals against average was 2.7. His save percentage was like 90.7, which, you know, the goals against are probably below average, and the save percentage is right at NHL average. I mean, he's 15th, 16th, 17th in save percentage in the league. Is that good? No. Is it bad? I guess not. But then you look at his wins, and he's only three off of the league leader in wins. He has 12 or 13, and I think the league leader has 15 or 16. So he's right there in the ultimate metric. But has he been a good goaltender? And something on our Game Time Drive Time podcast that you can find on Twitter, every Blues home game, that we record a podcast in the morning that you can listen to either in the afternoon or maybe on the drive to the game that night, or the drive home to watch the game when there isn't a lot of Blues talk on the radio in your car here in St. Louis. On one we recorded last week for one of the games, I think it was last Tuesday, against Edmonton, I said, maybe Jake Allen plays a little bit too much to the score, and that he will either let down his guard or let down his concentration or just kind of exhale and take a, you know, relax a little bit when it comes to a time when the Blues have a nice lead. When they scored 8 goals against Edmonton last week, you know, he allowed 3 in the third period. Did they matter? No, they still won by 5. Most of those goals happened after they had scored 5 or 6, so they really weren't in danger of losing the game. The Oilers had given up for sure, for the most part, especially in their own end. You know, getting a couple garbage goals didn't matter. But does it matter in terms of judging if Jake Allen is having a good season and is an effective goaltender? And I made the comparison that, you know, there's a pitcher by the name of Jack Morris who pitched for the Detroit Lions for a long time. Or, I'm sorry, the Detroit Tigers. Mixing sports there. Detroit Tigers, where his one-loss record was sterling, but his ERA was inflated to the point where people questioned whether or not he was a Hall of Fame pitcher. And defenders of Jack Morris said he pitched to the score. So if his team gave him a 5-run lead early in the game, he wasn't going to bear down and try to get a shutout or try to get a no-hitter. He was just going to try to get through the game and try to get ground balls and make some outs and get those 27 outs. And if the other team scored a couple runs, well, you know, a 5-3 win is just as good in the standings as a 5-0 win. So is an 8-0 win just as good as an 8-3 win, or vice versa? I don't know. It really is confounding to look at some of the peripheral stats of Jake Allen and say he's having a good season, but then you look at the one-loss record and where the Blues are in the standings at the top of the Western Conference, it's impossible to say that he's having a bad season. So I you know, the troubling part is right now in late November, the beginning of December, that's not a problem. having a save percentage that's hovering around 90%, a goals against above 2.5, encroaching on 3, is not a huge issue because they're winning. But when it gets to April, and hopefully May, and crazy talk June, you know, the playoffs and advancing in the playoffs, goals are a lot harder to come by. Power plays are a lot harder to come by. Scoring is much more difficult. If your goaltender isn't locked in at that point and is still allowing 3 a game and has a save percentage around 90, 91%, you're not going to advance very far. So, yeah, there's a ton of time. Those numbers could normalize. The second half of last year, Jake Allen with Sterling really made up for a poor first half. And really, he was below his career average in the first half of the season, was better than his career average in the second half. It averaged out to about his career average, go figure. Maybe we'll see that. I don't know. I just think it's an interesting conversation. And the worst part is if you talk about it on Twitter, if you talk about it on Facebook, and say, you know, Jake Allen's numbers are troubling, even though he's got all the wins, you get these Jake Allen defenders, or just Blues defenders in general, who say, well, hey, why are you complaining? They're winning. Have you looked at the standings lately? Jake Allen's a superb goalie. Look at all the wins. And they almost like take it personally. And I just don't get that. We're just having a conversation. We're trying to take a look at the team, understand what they're doing well, what needs to be improved, what players are playing well, what players could improve. And if you look at Jake Allen's peripheral stats, his goals against, his save percentage, the fact he doesn't have a shutout on the season, I think you could say he could play better. But then he's got all those wins, so who the hell knows? So that's it for me. Like I said, I'm Brad Lee with St. Louis Game Time. You can find us online at St. Louis Game Time. Find our fan run paper. We'll be out Wednesday night for the Anaheim game. 8 o'clock start. I don't know what the heck's up with that. But we'll be out there Wednesday and Friday, then against the Kings, the Hockey Fights Cancer Night. That's going to be a real emotional night. So find us. We're usually 24 pages of fan-run stuff. Opinions, stats, jokes, cartoons, you name it. Every page is different, every issue. So I appreciate you listening, and back to the rest of the podcast. Thanks.
Great stuff. Appreciate it. Always from him is, again, he's such a fan, does a great job, and he takes what he does very seriously as well, and we couldn't do all the shows without the support of guys like that. Guys, we're off till Wednesday. Blues get a little bit of a break after the back-to-back home games, but the Ducks come to town. Ducks sitting right at 500, game above, but always a tough matchup for the Blues. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the Ducks are always going to be a quality team. They got some big boys on that team. They can play physical, and they're fast. And, you know, again, they're an NHL team, so you can't take them lightly no matter what their record.
I take that back. They go on the road to face Anaheim.
Yeah, well, same.
Do you think the ice will be better in Anaheim, Butter?
According to Jamie.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Well.
So, yeah, but, you know, it's always a – it's an NHL game, like Gary said, but you can't take those games lightly. Those are the ones you have to win. You have to beat the 500 teams and below. So,
yeah.
You
know. No, I agree. And like I said, I think games against Nashville are huge. I think anytime you're like, you know, in the last few years, games against Chicago, absolutely huge. When they're the team that's going, you know, now Nashville went to the Cup Finals again. And I agree with Jamie's assessment. We didn't really touch on it at the very beginning before Jamie brought it up, but that is something that's noticeable is Nashville's definitely faster, and they make it, you know, that kind of makes it hell on a team. Butter, I know you run the defense for McKendree. When the other team's forwards are flying around, it puts a lot of pressure on the defense, does it not?
It does, and the one thing that I was going to say earlier when Jamie was talking about it is when we're – it's more of the offensive zone, and I think when we're dumping the puck against Nashville – we're always remnant around, and Pekka stops it every time. He's able to play the puck out quicker than we're able to get in on him. And we've seen it last year in the playoffs. He did it all playoff long against us, against other teams, but mainly against us. And I don't know why we don't go crossed ice into that boards to where it just sits in there and he can't get to it.
Yeah, just soft chipped in with near corner or hard shot to the weak
side.
That's
what I was going to say is maybe, you know, if they're lined up like that and if you can't, and you're just going to rim it around and he's going to catch it and you can't break in, maybe a soft chip gives you an opportunity to get through. I don't know. I, like I said, you're right, Butter. I dead on. I mean, he definitely plays the puck well. I mean, controls it from that end against us, especially on the dump ends. If we're not fast enough to crash in through there, especially when they stand up through the zone and you can't get the clear lanes. You know, it's a tough – I think that's the natural. Everybody's like, well, they're standing up, just dump it in. Well, you dump it in and turn it right back over. Yeah, I think that's
smart
part of
enough
it as well.
To keep it away from you.
I mean, you know, again, you would hope that – I mean, the smart hockey people are watching the same tape that the dumb hockey people are watching. So you'd have to believe they're seeing the same things. And maybe they did make a little bit of an adjustment Saturday night. I don't know. I didn't break it down. And again, Jamie saw cause for – a little bit of uptick in the Blues power play. And again, you know, that's why we have him on, because I guarantee you he's watched the game three times since Saturday. So
yeah, well, he was right, though. They were better at playing the same system than we were that night. But some of that isn't just about releasing the puck in the neutral zone, like gaining the red line and releasing the puck and having Pecorino, you know, being able to play it. A lot of that is how fast you're coming out of your zone. So if you're not exiting your zone quickly, then that allows a team like Nashville to set up like that to make you release the puck once you gain the red line. How you combat that is you come out of your zone strong. You come out of your D zone fast. You come out from low, not necessarily high, and gain speed through the neutral zone. Then you have weak side stretch plays and stuff to maintain possession so that you don't have to release the puck against a team like Nashville or a team, you know, or a goalie like Pecorino, who's not afraid to come out and play the puck. There just didn't seem like the Blues were able to make that happen on Friday night, because they weren't coming out of their zone clean, and they were coming out slowly and allowing for Nashville to dictate what happens to the Blues' possessions going north there.
You know, before we go, I want to ask your fan opinion of Jamie's assessment of acquiring Pat Maroon, only because, boy, that sure seems like a logical fit for us. I mean, he would sure fill a role. But I guess maybe when you don't see a guy on an everyday basis, you don't realize, and maybe if – and again, it's a part of the game that maybe I'm unfamiliar with Maroon. If he really truly is a slow player, that would be an issue. But, boy, it just seems
like – Well,
he's
not that slow, because he played with McDavid, so he's got to have a little bit of speed, you know.
It just seems to me like he would solve a lot of problems for us. But, again, I mean, I'm going to
– Yeah, Jamie, he's got good insight, and obviously we trust his opinion as the expert. But, you know, Paul Stastny grew up here too, so and he seems to be handling his hometown okay. But, you know, does Maroon come here as a third liner, or does he come here as a second liner and you see 17 on the third line?
Maybe not 17. You mean 71.
71.
See, I would be good with that. I don't know about you, but
that
I
seems
mean,
like more yeah. of a logical thing there.
Yeah. So if you could see him playing with Stastny,
yeah.
and
and then have Sobotka and Berge, you know, like
yeah,
you know,
that's a thought.
That is a thought.
That's a thought.
I wanted to ask him, but we got into Joe Murphy. I started laughing and forgot.
Well, we'll save that one for Thursday. That can be your Twitter question from Innovated Companies Electric.
I owe him some Twitter stuff for sure.
You do owe him some Twitter stuff for sure. And again, special thanks to the Innovated Companies, innovatedcompanies.com. One-stop shop for all of your construction needs. They can handle everything from the construction, the heating and cooling, the electric, everything you need. They can assist you with your project from the ground floor up. Give them an opportunity for your business. Second-generation craftsmanship, the wonderful family, the Green family. They do tremendous work and are respected throughout the community. Special thanks, obviously, to Tommy Brown, Tax Resolution. We appreciate him and his continued support and joining us on the show on Mondays for all his wonderful insight into Blake Lewis Blues hockey, as we appreciate it. Yes,
I concur
as well. I concur. And again, special thanks to Nelson Land Services and Synergy Hockey for bringing Jamie each week. I want to throw another shout out one last time to our social media affiliations that we have that have really helped grow the show. Again, our newcomer, Everything STL Sports, Art City Sports, St. Louis Blues Hockey Means, and of course, St. Louis Blues Fans Unite. Check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at NHL Show and at STL Blues Podcast. Please, please, please go to Facebook, type in Blues NHL Podcast, like our Facebook page, and invite your friends. It's the quickest way we know to grow the show through the fans themselves. And, of course, couldn't do it without lineupmedia.fm, the fastest-growing podcast company on the planet. Give them an opportunity for your entertainment time. For Gary, Tommy Brown, Jamie Rivers, Darren Kimball, Angela Sharp, Brad Lee, Dennis Minner. Man, we got quite a crew here now. All the gang here at Blues NHL Podcast. See you guys on Thursday. Let's go Blues.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.